When was the last time you turned on the evening news or picked up Time or Newsweek magazine or read in a newspaper and saw a headline, God does blank? Has anyone ever seen that?
Yeah.
But yet, as Presbyterians, don't we believe that God is sovereign? And are there no Presbyterians working for the newspapers or the television or the radios? So we have this tension that has existed almost from the beginning of creation, this tension in which the world seems to operate according to its own agenda. The powers and principalities seem to devise their plots and their schemes and to chase their goals and their ambitions. And yet beneath the surface, something greater, something stronger, something intentional and deliberate is happening not only among us, but in us. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven more than anything else that he talked about. And yet we know that the kingdom of heaven is not just something that we will experience after we die, but something that is present here and now. Indeed, to understand the kingdom, we must first start with the King, the one who inaugurates and ushers in his reign. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. When you think about that, do you think of somebody randomly scattering seed? Or do you think of someone with a plan, with a goal, who sows the seed with intentionality and purpose? Indeed, with the kingdom, there is intentionality. God is at work amidst this broken world to bring healing and life, to gather that which was scattered and broken to make us whole. And so God sowed the seed in the field. Now, Jean Rogers is not here today, so we cannot consult her on things horticultural. But to get a seed, to sow it in the field before it germinates, which is a mystery, really, something has to do what first? Die. Exactly. For the kingdom of heaven, that seed which is sown is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the one who was planted not in a farmer's field, but in a borrowed tomb, after he gave his life for you and for me. And when the stone was rolled away from that tomb, heaven's gates opened up and the age of darkness and sin trembled because God was at work. The old was passing away. All things were being made new. Things that were hidden were now being revealed. How about in us? How do we enter into this glorious kingdom? Well, I hate to tell you, we enter it like Jesus ushered it in. It comes through death. That may not mean our physical death, it usually really doesn't. But it could be death of our attitudes, death of our practices, death of our goals and our dreams. When we submit them to God, then God can give us new life. Some of you know my friend Andrew Purvis. He is a young man from Scotland. So he has that wonderful Scottish accent, and he is an amazing, amazing teacher and preacher. And his latest book is called The Crucifixion of Ministry. And one of the things he knows, as a seminary professor, he has seen this time and time again, that seminary students leave seminary thinking they're going to set the world on fire for Jesus. only to arrive in their first calls in those churches, where they realized that those dreams were so far from realistic. And what Andrew says is that not only must those dreams and ambitions, really idolatrous ambitions, die, but that God actually kills them. God crucifies them. And you know why? So that we may decrease and Jesus may live in us and increase. One of the things that is exciting about St. Andrew's is that there comes a time, and I hope it's okay to say this, when people get frustrated. When people realize that the same old, just ain't cutting it anymore. And I have to confess that that was stirring in a number of our hearts. And so part of what we are doing is not just an effort to renew worship life of our congregation, but the spiritual life. And as we submit ourselves to the Lord, as we allow the dreams that we once had, the ideas that we once had, the thoughts, the goals, not only for St. Andrew's, for each of our lives, to be crucified, to be sowed into the field as Jesus was, at that point, then Jesus can live in us and through us. At that point, His risen life can manifest in us. And then our lives, like the life of Christ, become a refuge, not only a place of blessing for us, but a refuge for those around us, for the lost, for the hurting, for those who bear horrible weights of sin and oppression, for those who are in need of a Savior, for those who are in need of God's love. We become a home for them as we allow Christ to live in and through us. So I invite you to ponder this parable that Jesus shared. It's only two verses. It seems so simple. I invite you tonight when you get home to actually write it out, to put it on an index card or a sticky note, carry it with you through the week, memorize it. And as you see the events of your daily life through the lens of this parable, I pray that in your life those things which were hidden may become manifest and crystal clear as you see them through the eyes of the one who died and rose again for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of new life that you offer us in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would allow our goals and our dreams, our plans and our ambitions to be sown into a field to actually die, so that we might rise to new life with you, so that we might allow you to live in and through us, and through the fellowship that we share, to provide a home for the lost and the lonely, for those whose hearts are seeking the face of the Lord. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.